So, hey, everybody, this is Eric Mann. You're on with Voices from the Frontlines, your 4 o'clock drive time, walk time, bicycle time, public affairs hour on KPFK 90.7 FM. So I'm speaking with Alex Sanchez, internationally recognized peacemaker, former gang member, director of Homies Unidos, and a repeated target of federal prosecution. Alex is here in the KPFK studio with me. Joining us on the phone is Luis Rodriguez, activist, poet, and author of Always Running, La Vida Loca, Gang Days in L.A. Luis returned recently from a trip to El Salvador to witness a truce between the country's largest gangs, many of whose members are from Los Angeles, many of them deported to El Salvador. Luis, we have you with us, right?
Yes, I am on the line. Thank you.
Great. And Alex is in studio. I know that the two of you work together. Why don't we start with Luis, because he's maybe could tell us a little bit about the gang truce in El Salvador. And we're going to go back and forth a lot between East L.A. and El Salvador. So why don't you start, Luis, and tell our listeners who probably know very little about this what you witnessed, what's going on, and a little bit really in 4 minutes as your first round, what your assessment is.
Let me summarize. Around March 9th of this year, the two major gangs in El Salvador, Mara Salvatrucha 13 and Barrio 18th Street, did a peace truce in one of the largest prisons in El Salvador. Since that time, violence has gone down tremendously, up to 70%. And we are estimating, 2 to 2,500 lives are being saved just with that effort. There's also, they're also made schools safe zones where they wouldn't be recruiting any more young people around schools or any place else. They're working on trying to just establish this peace for the long haul. I think one of the things that we went down there were an 11-person delegation. They were from New York City, from Washington, D.C., the Bay Area, Los Angeles, and London. I was one of those that went down as part of the transnational advisory group in support of the peace process in El Salvador. We wanted to assess the actual truce, what was happening, to assist if possible, and to advise whenever we could. And we met with government people as well as nonprofit organizations, as well as church people, and as many gang members as we could. We ended up in 6 prisons, and 1 juvenile prison. We did go to an all-women's prison. And I'll just tell you real briefly that, the situation is that they're very sincere and very clear about the peace truce. Both Mara Salvatrucha and 18th Street gang members, the leaders we met with, the women and men, many of them now have families. Many of them don't want to see any more violence. They're aware that over the last 20 years, they have caused a lot of violence, and they are asking for forgiveness. They are asking to be brought back into the economy and to the country. The other thing is that they are in very deplorable conditions in prisons, and of course, the country is extremely poor. The prisons are, some of the prisons we went to didn't have any running water, no electricity. Babies up to 5 years old are being held with their mothers, and there's nothing for them.
Luis, so, when we hold that, when we stay there for a minute, okay? So that was great. I mean, so one thing, I'll go back to Alex. You two work together, right? And you're working together in terms of the dialectic between East Los and El Salvador. What do you think is the lesson in El Salvador, and what are you trying to apply to L.A.?
Well, we know that Los Angeles had a has had a few.
We know that El Salvador has had some truces that happened in 92 with the Crips and the Bloods, and then with the Latino gangs in 93. Both of them brought down crime significantly, but nothing was invested in it. There was no governmental resources invested in continuing a truce. And that's what we have to deal with in regards of El Salvador, that we need to have the government understand that this is an investment that they got to do, that it's that the truce is just an outcry by the gangs to call on the government, that there needs to be some in resources invested in prevention, intervention, and reentry in order to reduce crime and violence. And, the streets of, especially around the Westlake, Pico Union area of Los Angeles, where it's Central American communities, they're skeptical about what's happening in El Salvador. But it's awakened a sense of hope of finally having some true peace, which is, you know, the levels of violence in El Salvador have been reduced to levels before the war, the civil war that we had. So it's something for a couple of generations that have lived through this post-war and war era that finally are getting understanding or really understanding what peace is or living in peace. So it's significant that both are connected, and El Salvador, if done correctly with the proper investment, could become a model to be used here in Los Angeles and elsewhere.
Well, one question is, we'll stay with Alex and go back to Luis. Is I was just listening that tomorrow night Bill Clinton is going to speak, and he's going to talk about why the Obama administration is friendly to business and why the Obama administration does not want to make welfare easier for people. So this is going to be back to tough on crime, tough on the poor. Is there any support in either El Salvador or in the United States from the government for the gang truces, or would you say that they in some ways want to keep the war on gangs going?
Well, we both know that that in the United States, the prison industrial complex have shares in the stock market in which people are investing in locking up and creating more laws that will put people away in prison, and exploit it through the prison industries that are created inside these prisons. The new slavery is what I call them. Well, this is what is happening in El Salvador. Some of the prisons are now being built by U.S. companies in El Salvador. So we see a trend in which, you know, the policies that have been implemented in the United States, such as the zero tolerance initiatives, the gang injunctions, all these anti-gang laws implemented throughout the country here are being used and have been used as models in Central America overall, to the extreme in which, you know, gang injunctions, if you're put in a gang injunction, that means you're a target of death squads and so on. We've seen what happened in Honduras in February 14, in which 356 inmates were burned to death in a cell block.
Jesus Christ.
You know, and in 2004 and 2005, 2003, there were similar massacres where, you know, people died, 106 in San Pedro Sula, and another one in another town in Honduras where people are being massacred. So, you know, these are things that have happened also in Honduras, in El Salvador, in Guatemala, where, you know, commandos have come into the prison and killed gang members. And, you know, in El Salvador, you have massacres that have taken place, not to the levels of Honduras, but definitely when you have over 30 people killed in a prison at one point, there's social cleansing. So that's what we're facing right now. And we know that Obama has invested $100 million in El Salvador, and all of that funding is going directly to security issues.
Well, why don't you stay with that, Luis, about if Obama has invested $100 million, in El Salvador, who is for the gang truce? What forces there, and who's against it in terms of the balance of forces inside of El Salvador?
Well, we did talk to the government officials, and obviously the country split. The vast majority of people, as Alex says, are very skeptical, and there is hanging over everything the U.S. government's position, which is not to negotiate with so-called gangsters and to just build more prisons. But what we did find is even in the government, there's people that know for a fact that the repression has not worked. They have told us, even if it was under the table, but they told us they know it doesn't work. It made the situation worse. It did not bring the gang violence down. The only thing that has brought gang violence down in 20 years has been this peace truce, led by the gang members themselves. So we need to convince people within the country, the countryside, as well as the government there, and all hopes that our government will listen. It's very difficult right now when both parties are saying the same thing around prisons and gangs and crime. But we need to start changing people's idea about this. The fact of the matter is, if you give people hope, you give them jobs, you give them education, you give them decent medical care, you train them, you open up the schools, you do gang prevention, intervention, the reentry, it works. In Los Angeles, we began to do that. Me and Alex were part of an effort to do that in L.A. It's not totally right, it could be better, but we've changed the whole gang situation here just by introducing gang intervention, gang prevention, reentry programs as much as we can. It's got a long ways to go, but I've I've seen the numbers go down in L.A., which has been known as the gang capital of the U.S. If we can do it here, it can happen. But the thing about El Salvador is right now the window of opportunity is that El Salvador can prove to the whole world that it could be done in one of the most violent countries in the world.
What is the action item? Like, this show is called Voices from the Frontlines, and what we're trying to do is cultivate a listenership that doesn't just listen but does things. So Alex is going to talk later on about a program he wants people to go to. But in terms of El Salvador, what can people do in the United States, our listeners, to create any kind of international sentiment for the truce process that you're talking about?
Well, we're going to start doing press conferences starting next week in all the major cities that we had people from the delegation. We're talking about Washington, D.C., New York, L.A., and hopefully the Bay Area. And we're going to try to get the media to start bringing in this side of the story. The media has pretty much just demonized the gang situation in El Salvador. For the most part, they have ignored this peace truce and the impact it's had. So we need to open up the dialogue and get people to understand that these are human beings caught in some very real issues that affects everybody, and that these issues can be resolved. But you got to bring in these gang kids. You got to bring in the leaders. You got to bring in the mothers and the fathers, and you got to convince people that this is not just to benefit gang members; it's to benefit the whole country. Everybody's already benefiting from the drop in violence. The whole country can benefit if there was real investment, real jobs, real schools that can open up possibilities. So I think that's where we're at now. We're trying to convince a whole country like the United States, as well as a country like El Salvador, that peace is possible. It's already started, and we just need to put the political will and economy behind it.
Well, in terms of Alex and Luis, you're both long-distance runners. I'm going to start with you, Alex. You've been subject to enormous government repression, it looks like twice, two major campaigns against you. So you're here talking about the gang truce, but finally say you've been a pretty heroic figure, whether you liked it or not. You know, they went after you, so you had to be. What's it like? Tell our listeners just a little bit, not as much what's happening to you, which is important, but also how do you deal with it? So tell us both.
Well, you know, I got involved in this peace truce in El Salvador recently because the 18th Street side that was involved in this peace truce gave us a call. It was unfortunate that I couldn't talk with the MS-13 side because of my federal restrictions I have on my bail. So it was difficult to have to deal with this balancing act in regards of being able to fully be engaged in a peace truce. And it becomes difficult economically. You know, Homies Unidos has had a big impact economically. We've doing small fundraisers to get people to at least donate at least $10 a month, and ongoing funding. It's definitely had an impact on my family for the second time. You know, my daughter witnessed, how the FBI was dragging me out of the house, and she was sent to a patrol car in which she saw the picture of me inside as the target. So it becomes difficult to have to deal with every day waking up knowing that the FBI might be tailing you, might be listening to your calls, might be sending you somebody to set you up. So it's really traumatic. Some days I can deal with it. Some days I can't, And last week I called Luis and told him I can't take it right now, And luckily for me, I have a real support system around me of elders that have been able to help me deal with it, and we have the support of many, many people in our community because they know that I've been told to stop doing it by my own family. But when you have somebody calling you from El Salvador that's been tortured inside the prisons and it's telling you, Alex, we need to create something. You have to help us because you have a voice. You could send our message, and they're reaching out to me, to our organization, because they know that I'm able to go out there and express the concerns that are happening. So And that's what drives me. Every time a kid comes knocking on the door and telling me I need help, I need a tattoo removed, you know, that's what drives me. You know, like I've said, you know, and I said it, you know, the day that I stop working is because nobody's knocking on the door, because nobody's calling me. That's when I got to start looking for another profession. But in the meantime, you know, it gives me the satisfaction that I need morally, that I feel obligated to provide and give back to the community something that I once took away, being part of the violence that I was before. I feel obligated to come back into the community. And that's what keeps me going, no matter, you know, if it's the CIA next that comes after me.
And the voice you just heard, the profound voice you just heard, is Alex Sanchez. He's the director of Homies Unidos. He's been, what he alluded to, is he's been a political prisoner. He is a political prisoner now. He's just out on bail. He's been held without bail. There's been a major work to, thank goodness, get him bail. Very courageous to go and continue to speak out on this. Luis, you're a long-distance runner as well. This work is certainly going against the historical grain. I think it's important to explain to our listeners what keeps you going, both strategically, spiritually, and politically.
Well, you know, I came out of the 60s and 70s. The gang violence we're seeing today was really getting ignited then, as they went after the Black Panthers and the Brown Berets and the AIM movement. They went after all the activists and leaders. As you know, people being set up, people being killed. You were talking about Munya, you know, Geronimo Pratt was set up. So many people were dying, and some of us got out of that gang violence during that time, but then we had to try to reestablish ourselves and keep this work going. I've been doing it for over 40 years.
Wow.
In L.A., African-American and Chicano and Central American gangs. I've done it in Chicago for 15 years. I've gone to Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala. I've been to Nicaragua, Honduras, and South America. In other words, I've been doing this for a long time, and I do want to say something about Alex. I mean, to me, he's one of the leading, most effective urban peace leaders that we have in this country. And I do feel that a lot of what he's facing is to undermine that effectiveness. We need people in this work who used to be the ones that caused the problems, at the same time who realize what they've done, but have also committed to helping this community for peace and really become strong for real justice. So I feel that Alex is actually part of that whole movement that came out of that period when we saw great leaders being put away. We can't let Alex be put away. He has been actively strong for families, for communities, for peace. And it seems a shame that any effort will be done to keep him away from doing this.
Well, thanks, Luis. And I think in terms of Alex, the role that you play, it is very hard to sort of be a public figure. But then some days you wake up in the morning and you're not a public figure. You're just Alex. You know what I mean? You're just sort of, as you said, you go to make breakfast and what the hell do they want from me? And it's hard to occupy that role every day. And yet people are really asking a lot of you in the good sense. And so I appreciate you sharing this with us. And what are some of the actions you were talking about, the Fruits of War? Why don't you tell us about this documentary that you've done? And I mean, that you're promoting and get some of our listeners to be able to come.
Right. This Saturday we had an open, we had the screening in a series of screenings that we're going to be doing throughout L.A. Of this documentary that's called Fruits of War. And there's the story of four individuals that migrated to the U.S. in the early 80s behind the impact of the war and their experience as immigrant children here in the Los Angeles and why they got involved in gangs and then the impact of being an immigrant, criminalized, facing deportation back to a country they no longer know. And then what they faced as they went down there. Now, all of this became members of Homies Unidos, either in El Salvador or myself, because I'm depicted in this documentary here in Los Angeles. And we tell our story in our own voices about our experience and the struggle of redemption, of the struggle of convincing people that you've changed, the struggle of daily, you know, having to pay the bills or having to be a father and a husband. And all of this comes out in this film in an emotional way, in which it's a journey that we all embarked, you know, of redemption and social justice, because many of them, including some in the documentary, lost their lives already. So you know, it's in the documentary, in 2002, I literally won this political asylum behind the, you know, them trying to deport me back to El Salvador, and I won, and it ended as the only good story in the documentary. But now I'm being faced with it again. So it really brings it back to reality that, you know, the government or law enforcement does not see gang intervention as an effective tool to deal with gang violence. But at the same time, you know, the media has demonized, you know, the gang members so much that people don't want to give us the opportunity to make that change. But Los Angeles is now using gang members to promote peace in the neighborhoods. So it's changing the misconception that gang members never change. But on the root on the ground level, law enforcement still have an issue. So we're going to be having a series of screenings. This next screen is going to be at the Pico Youth and Family Center on the 28th of September.
What day is that?
It's going to be a Friday. It's going to be at 6 p.m. And the address, for those that want to come, is 715 Pico Boulevard in Santa Monica, 90405. You can also contact Gina DeBaca at 310-266-2810. And what we did this weekend with this, that after the screening, we had a panel discussion, educating people also about the peace truce in El Salvador. So with this time, we had Luis Rodriguez and Enrique Hurtado from Aztec Risings that came and spoke. We're gonna hopefully have some other of the delegation, members of the delegation that went down to El Salvador, and we're just gonna have a good time. We're gonna be having some house, you know, homemade tamales. You know, and enjoy a nice time in which we're going to be full of, and youth are, students are welcome. It's a donation. It's part of our struggle to educate the people and get donors to continue doing the work that Homies Unidos has been doing in this community. We've had some challenges, economic challenges, you know, this last three years basically, but now we're at the brinks of closing our doors, so we need to really have people to donate at least $10. As if we get 100 people to donate $10 a month, you know, that'll cover our rent. You know, so we definitely need the help from the community. You can log on to homiesunidos.org, push donate, you know, and become a sustainer.
Luis, I'm going to let you get a last word in, but let's just take a minute on that. When I do the show every week, the person on the show or the people on the show are doing something. That's why it's called Voices from the Frontlines. And they're asking for something. Will you come to this demonstration? Will you come to this film showing? And I would hope that our listeners would really think that you tune on to this show and then you're going to go to the film showing. You know what I mean? That it's not just interesting, but you're going to put it down. I would like you to repeat the information then. And also, I want people to think about this issue of donation, because fundraising, you know, KPFK is always fundraising, and sometimes it's tiresome. But almost everybody in the movement right now is always fundraising, and everybody else should be always giving. So homiesunido.org, is that correct?
/donate.
Okay. I'm going to check it out. Tell us one more time about the information on the film showing, Fruits of War. It's on Pico Youth Family Center, 715 Pico Boulevard in Santa Monica. Looks like 90405. You can contact Gina DeBaca, 310-266-2810. You can go on homiesunidos.org and really check out what they're doing. And Luis is a long-distance runner. What are your last thoughts for our listeners?
Well, for one thing, I think this is very important that we support. Seeing this movie, we saw it, me and my wife, last Saturday. It's a great testament to what's possible. And it is sad that some of the people in that film no longer are with us, but Alex is still here. And we need to help Homies Unidos. I would say whatever support anybody can give. And I also told Alex that we should plan one at Tia Chucha Center Cultural, which is my cultural center over in the San Fernando Valley. So we'll let you know. And if you go to TiaChucha.com, you'll know when we'll do it with Alex there, and we'll show the film, and we'll just keep spreading it around. I just want to add one last thing. You know, I think the issue is so important that people know people can change. Alex mentioned that. This is the important thing that we want to get over. People find it hard to understand that some of the most violent people can become some of the most peaceful warriors in our communities. Alex is an example of that. Others are examples of that. And, you know, every time there was truce and it failed because the government or the jobs or the police undermined it, you still had leaders come out of each effort. The Crips and Bloods efforts in 92, a whole crop of leaders came out of that. What happened in the 60s and 70s, many leaders. What happened in 93 in LA with the Latino gangs. And what's happening now in El Salvador, there will be leaders. Those leaders of the peace truce in El Salvador today, they're not going back to violence. They're not, no matter what happens. The issue, though, is there's a new generation of young people with no jobs being repressed. The gang violence will continue. What we need to do is help those who are ready to stand up now, just like Alex, just like these people in El Salvador, these leaders, and put as much effort as we can to make sure that no more lives are lost.
Well, you know, I'll end if it's okay with just one thought, which is, you know, we think about these numbers like 2.4 million people in U.S. prisons, 1 million black, 500,000 Latino. We talk about, as you were saying, people in women's prisons in El Salvador. Each one of them are real people. They're not numbers. I mean, if this was you, if this was your life, the amazing injustice of what's going on, you would say, oh, my God, we got to really have a revolution. If this was my life. But it's other people's lives for some of you. And for some of us listening here, all the more reason to take action, because you have the option to take action. So let's get involved in this movement. Let's get involved in helping Homeless Unidos. Let's get out and see the film, Fruits of War. And we'll stay in touch with both of your brothers and continue to publicize your work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on the show.
Okay, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye.
So I'm speaking with Alex Sanchez, internationally recognized peacemaker, former gang member, director of Homies Unidos, and a repeated target of federal prosecution. Alex is here in the KPFK studio with me. Joining us on the phone is Luis Rodriguez, activist, poet, and author of Always Running, La Vida Loca, Gang Days in L.A. Luis returned recently from a trip to El Salvador to witness a truce between the country's largest gangs, many of whose members are from Los Angeles, many of them deported to El Salvador. Luis, we have you with us, right?
Yes, I am on the line. Thank you.
Great. And Alex is in studio. I know that the two of you work together. Why don't we start with Luis, because he's maybe could tell us a little bit about the gang truce in El Salvador. And we're going to go back and forth a lot between East L.A. and El Salvador. So why don't you start, Luis, and tell our listeners who probably know very little about this what you witnessed, what's going on, and a little bit really in 4 minutes as your first round,
yeah.
What your assessment is.
Let me summarize. Around March 9th of this year, the two major gangs in El Salvador, Mara Salvatrucha 13 and Barrio 18th Street, did a peace truce in one of the largest prisons in El Salvador. Since that time, violence has gone down tremendously, up to 70%. And we are estimating, you know, 2,000 to 2,500 lives are being saved just with that effort. They also made schools safe zones where they wouldn't be recruiting any more young people around schools or any place else. They're working on trying to just establish this peace for the long haul. I think one of the things that we went down there were an 11-person delegation. They were from New York City, from Washington, D.C., the Bay Area, Los Angeles, and London. I was one of those that went down as part of the transnational advisory group in support of the peace process in El Salvador. We wanted to assess the actual truce, what was happening, to assist if possible and to advise whenever we could. And we met with government people as well as nonprofit organizations, as well as church people and as many gang members as we could. We ended up in 6 prisons and 1 juvenile prison. We did go to an all-women's prison. And I'll just tell you real briefly that, you know, the situation is that they're very sincere and very clear about the peace truce. Both Mara Salvatrucha and 18th Street gang members, the leaders we met with, the women and men, many of them now have families. Many of them don't want to see any more violence. They're aware that over the last 20 years they have caused a lot of violence, and they are asking for forgiveness. They are asking to be brought back into the economy and to the country. The other thing is that they are in very deplorable conditions, in prisons, and of course the country is extremely poor. The prisons are, some of the prisons we went to didn't have any running water, no electricity. Babies up to 5 years old are being held with their mothers, and there's nothing for them.
Luis, when we stay there for a minute, okay? So that was great. I mean, so one thing, I'll go back to Alex. You two work together, right? And you're working together in terms of the dialectic between East Los and El Salvador. What do you think is the lesson in El Salvador, and what are you trying to apply to L.A.?
Well, we know that Los Angeles has had a few.
We know that El Salvador has had some truces that happened in 92 with the Crips and the Bloods, and then with the Latino gangs in 93. Both of them brought down crime significantly, but nothing was invested in it. There was no governmental resources invested in continuing a truce. And that's what we have to deal with in regards of El Salvador, that we need to have the government understand that this is an investment that they got to do, that it's that the truce is just an outcry by the gangs to call on the government, that there needs to be some in resources invested in prevention, intervention, and reentry in order to reduce crime and violence. And, you know, the streets of, especially around the Westlake, Pico Union area of Los Angeles, where it's Central American communities, you know, they're skeptical about what's happening in El Salvador. But it's awakened a sense of hope of finally having some true peace, which is, the levels of violence in El Salvador have been reduced to levels before the war, the civil war that we had. So it's something for a couple of generations that have lived through this post-war and war era that finally are getting understanding or really understanding what peace is, or living in peace. So it's significant that both are connected, and El Salvador, if done correctly with the proper investment, could become a model to be used here in Los Angeles and elsewhere.
Well, one question is, we'll stay with Alex and go back to Luis, is I was just listening that tomorrow night Bill Clinton is going to speak, and he's going to talk about why the Obama administration is friendly to business and why the Obama administration does not want to make welfare easier for people. So this is going to be back to tough on crime, tough on the poor. Is there any support in either El Salvador or in the United States from the government for the gang truces, or would you say that they in some ways want to keep the war on gangs going?
Well, we both know that that in the United States, the prison industrial complex have shares in the stock market in which people are investing in locking up and creating more laws that will put people away in prison, and exploit it through the prison industries that are created inside these prisons. The new slavery is what I call them. Well, this is what is happening in El Salvador. Some of the prisons are now being built by U.S. companies in El Salvador. So we see a trend in which, you know, the policies that have been implemented in the United States, such as the zero tolerance initiatives, the gang injunctions, all these anti-gang laws implemented throughout the country here are being used and have been used as models in Central America overall, to the extreme in which, you know, gang injunctions, if you're put in a gang injunction, that means you're a target of death squads and so on. We've seen what happened in Honduras in February 14, in which 356 inmates were burned to death in a cell block.
Jesus Christ.
You know, and in 2004 and 2005, 2003, there were similar massacres where, you know, people died, 106 in San Pedro Sula. And in another one in another town in Honduras where people are being massacred. So, you know, these are things that have happened also in Honduras, in El Salvador, in Guatemala, where, you know, commandos have come in into the prison and killed gang members. And, you know, in El Salvador you have massacres that have taken place, not to the levels of Honduras, but definitely when you have over 30 people killed in a prison at one point, there's social cleansing. So that's what we're facing right now. And we know that Obama has invested $100 million in El Salvador, and all of that funding is going directly to security issues.
Well, why don't you stay with that, Luis, about if Obama has invested $100 million, in El Salvador, who is for the gang truce? What forces there, and who's against it in terms of the balance of forces inside of El Salvador?
Well, we did talk to the government officials, and obviously the country split. The vast majority of people, as Alex says, are very skeptical, and there is hanging over everything the U.S. government's position, which is not to negotiate with so-called gangsters and to just build more prisons. But what we did find is even in the government, there's people that know for a fact that the repression has not worked. They have told us, even if it was under the table, but they told us they know it doesn't work. It made the situation worse. It did not bring the gang violence down. The only thing that has brought gang violence down in 20 years has been this peace truce, led by the gang members themselves. So we need to convince people within the country, the countryside, as well as the government there, and all hopes that our government will listen. It's very difficult right now when both parties are saying the same thing around prisons and gangs and crime. But we need to start changing people's idea about this. The fact of the matter is, if you give people hope, you give them jobs, you give them education, you give them decent medical care, you train them, you open up the schools, you do gang prevention, intervention, the reentry, it works. In Los Angeles, we began to do that. Me and Alex were part of an effort to do that in L.A. It's not totally right. It could be better. But we've changed the whole gang situation here just by introducing gang intervention, gang prevention, reentry programs as much as we can. It's got a long ways to go, but I've seen the numbers go down in L.A., which has been known as the gang cap of the U.S. If we can do it here, it can happen. But the thing about El Salvador is right now the window of opportunity is that El Salvador can prove to the whole world that it could be done in one of the most violent countries in the world.
What is the action item? Like, this show is called Voices from the Frontlines, and what we're trying to do is cultivate a listenership that doesn't just listen, but does things. So Alex is going to talk later on about a program he wants people to go to. But in terms of El Salvador, what can people do in the United States, our listeners, to create any kind of international sentiment for the truce process that you're talking about?
Well, we're going to start doing press conferences starting next week in all the major cities that we had people from the delegation. We're talking about Washington, D.C., New York, L.A., and hopefully the Bay Area. And we're going to try to get the media to start bringing in this side of the story. The media has pretty much just demonized the gang situation in El Salvador. For the most part, they have ignored this peace truce and the impact it's had. So we need to open up the dialogue and get people to understand that these are human beings caught in some very real issues that affects everybody, and that these issues can be resolved. But you got to bring in these gang kids. You got to bring in the leaders. You got to bring in the mothers and the fathers, and you got to convince people that this is not just to benefit gang members; it's to benefit the whole country. Everybody's already benefiting from the drop in violence. The whole country can benefit if there was real investment, real jobs, real schools that can open up possibilities. So I think that's where we're at now. We're trying to convince a whole country like the United States, as well as a country like El Salvador, that peace is possible. It's already started, and we just need to put the political will and economy behind it.
Well, in terms of Alex and Luis, you're both long-distance runners. I'm going to start with you, Alex. You've been subject to enormous government repression, it looks like twice, two major campaigns against you. So you're here talking about the gang truce, but if I may say, you've been a pretty heroic figure, whether you liked it or not, you know, they went after you, so you had to be. What's it like? Tell our listeners just a little bit, not as much what's happening to you, which is important, but also how do you deal with it? So tell us both.
Well, you know, I got involved in this peace truce in El Salvador recently because the 18th Street side that was involved in this peace truce gave us a call. It was unfortunate that I couldn't talk with the MS-13 side because of my federal restrictions I have on my bail. So it was difficult to have to deal with this balancing act in regards of being able to fully be engaged in a peace truce. And it becomes difficult economically. You know, Homies Unidos has had a big impact economically. We've doing small fundraisers to get people to at least donate at least $10 a month, you know, and ongoing funding. And it's definitely had an impact on my family for the second time. You know, my daughter witnessed, you know, how the FBI was dragging me out of the house, and she was sent to a patrol car in which she saw the picture of me inside as the target. So it becomes difficult to have to deal with every day waking up knowing that the FBI might be tailing you, might be listening to your calls, might be sending you somebody to set you up. So it's really traumatic. You know, some days I could deal with it, some days I can't, you know. And last week I called Luis and told him I can't take it right now, you know. And luckily for me, I have a real support system around me of elders that have been able to help me deal with it, you know. And we have the support of many, many people in our community because they know that I've been told to stop doing it by my own family. But when you have somebody calling you from El Salvador that's been tortured inside the prisons and it's telling you, Alex, we need to create something. You have to help us because you have a voice. You could send our message, and they're reaching out to me, to our organization, because they know that I'm able to go out there and express the concerns that are happening. So, and that's what drives me. Every time a kid comes knocking on the door and telling me I need help, I need a tattoo removed, you know, that's what drives me. You know, like I've said, you know, and I said it, you know, the day that I stop working is because nobody's knocking on the door, because nobody's calling me. That's when I got to start looking for another profession. But in the meantime, you know, it gives me the satisfaction that I need morally, that I feel obligated to provide and give back to the community something that I once took away being part of the violence that I was before. I feel obligated to come back into the community. And that's what keeps me going, no matter, you know, if it's the CIA next that comes after me.
And the voice you just heard, the profound voice you just heard, is Alex Sanchez. He's the director of Homies Unidos. He's been, what he alluded to, is he's been a political prisoner. He is a political prisoner now. He's just out on bail. He's been held without bail. There's been a major work to, thank goodness, get him bail. Very courageous to go and continue to speak out on this. Luis, you're a long-distance runner as well. This work is certainly going against the historical grain. I think it's important to explain to our listeners what keeps you going, both strategically, spiritually, and politically.
Well, you know, I came out of the 60s and 70s. The gang violence we're seeing today was really getting ignited then, as they went after the Black Panthers and the Brown Berets and the AIM movement. They went after all the activists and leaders. As you know, people being set up, people being killed. You were talking about Mumia, you know, Geronimo Pratt was set up. So many people were dying, and some of us got out of that gang violence during that time, but then we had to try to reestablish ourselves and keep this work going. I've been doing it for over 40 years. Wow. In L.A., African-American and Chicano and Central American gangs. I've done it in Chicago for 15 years. I've gone to Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala. I've been to Nicaragua, Honduras, and South America. In other words, I've been doing this for a long time, and I do want to say something about Alex. I mean, to me, he's one of the leading, most effective urban peace leaders that we have in this country. And I do feel that a lot of what he's facing is to undermine that effectiveness. We need people in this work who used to be the ones that caused the problems, at the same time who realize what they've done, but have also committed to helping this community for peace and really become strong for real justice. So I feel that Alex is actually part of that whole movement that came out of that period when we saw great leaders being put away. We can't let Alex be put away. He has been actively strong for families, for communities, for peace. And it seems a shame that any effort will be done to keep him away from doing this.
Well, thanks, Luis. And I think in terms of Alex, the role that you play, it is very hard to sort of be a public figure. But then some days you wake up in the morning and you're not a public figure. You're just Alex. You know what I mean? You're just sort of, as you said, you go to make breakfast and what the hell do they want from me? And it's hard to occupy that role every day. And yet people are really asking a lot of you in the good sense. And so I appreciate you sharing this with us. And what are some of the actions you were talking about, the fruits of war? Why don't you tell us about this documentary that you've done? And I mean that you're promoting and get us some of our listeners to be able to come.
Right, this Saturday we had an open. We had the screening in a series of screenings that we're going to be doing throughout LA of this documentary that's called Fruits of War. And there's the story of four individuals that migrated to the U.S. in the early '80s behind the impact of the war. And their experience as immigrant children here in the Los Angeles, and why they got involved in gangs, and then the impact of being an immigrant, criminalized, facing deportation back to a country they no longer know, and then what they faced as they went down there. Now, all of this became members of Homies Unidos, either in El Salvador or myself, because I'm depicted in this documentary here in Los Angeles, and we tell our story in our own voices. About our experience and the struggle of redemption, of the struggle of convincing people that you've changed, the struggle of daily, you know, having to pay the bills or having to be a father and a husband. And all of this comes out in this film in an emotional way, in which it's a journey that we all embarked, you know, of redemption and social justice, because many of them, including some in the documentary, lost their lives already. So, you know, it's in the documentary in 2002, I literally won this political asylum behind the, you know, them trying to deport me back to El Salvador, and I won. And it ended as the only good story in the documentary. But, now I'm being faced with it again. So it really brings it back to reality that, you know, the government or law enforcement does not see gang intervention as an effective tool to deal with gang violence. But at the same time, you know, the media has demonized, you know, the gang members so much that people don't want to give us the opportunity to make that change. But Los Angeles is now using gang members to promote peace in the neighborhoods. So it's changing the misconception that gang members never change. But on the root on the ground level, law enforcement still have an issue. So we're going to be having a series of screenings. This next screen is going to be at the Pico Youth and Family Center on the 28th of September.
What day is that?
It's going to be a Friday. It's going to be at 6 p.m. And the address, for those that want to come, is 715 Pico Boulevard in Santa Monica, 90405. You could also contact Gina DeBaca at 310-266-2810. And what we did this weekend with this, that after the screening, we had a panel discussion educating people also about the peace truce in El Salvador. So this time we had Luis Rodriguez and Enrique Hurtado from Aztec Risings that came and spoke. We're going to hopefully have some other of the delegation, members of the delegation that went down to El Salvador. And we're just going to have a good time. We're going to be having some house, homemade tamales, you know, and enjoy a nice time in which we're going to be full of, and youth are, students are welcome. It's a donation. It's part of our struggle to educate the people and get donors to continue doing the work that Homies Unidos has been doing in this community. We've had some challenges, economic challenges, you know, this last three years basically, but now we're at the brinks of closing our doors, so we need to really have people to donate at least $10. If we get 100 people to donate $10 a month, you know, that'll cover our rent. You know, so we definitely need the help from the community. You can log on to homiesunidos.org, push donate, you know, and become a sustainer.
Luis, I'm going to let you get a last word in, but let's just take a minute on that. When I do the show every week, the person on the show or the people on the show are doing something. That's why it's called Voices from the Front Lines. And they're asking for something. Will you come to this demonstration? Will you come to this film showing? And I would hope that our listeners would really think that you tune on to this show and then you're going to go to the film showing. You know what I mean? That it's not just interesting, but you're going to put it down. I would like you to repeat the information. And also, I want people to think about this issue of donation, because fundraising, you know, KPFK is always fundraising, and sometimes it's tiresome. But almost everybody in the movement right now is always fundraising, and everybody else should be always giving. So homiesunido.org, is that correct?
/donate.
Okay. I'm going to check it out. Tell us one more time about the information on the film showing, Fruits of War. It's on Pico Youth Family Center, 715 Pico Boulevard in Santa Monica. Looks like 90405. You can contact Gina DeBacca, 310-266-2810. You can go on homiesunidos.org and really check out what they're doing. And Luis is a long-distance runner. What are your last thoughts for our listeners?
Well, for one thing, I think this is very important that we support seeing this movie. We saw it, me and my wife, last Saturday. It's a great testament to what's possible. And it is sad that some of the people in that film no longer are with us, but Alex is still here, and we need to help Homies Unidos. I would say whatever support anybody can give, and I also told Alex that we should plan one at Tia Chucha Center Cultural, which is my cultural center over in the San Fernando Valley. So we'll let you know, and if you go to TiaChucha.com, you'll know when we'll do it with Alex there, and we'll show the film, and we'll just keep spreading it around. I just want to add one last thing. You know, I think the issue is so important that people know people can change. Alex mentioned that. This is the important thing that we want to get over. People find it hard to understand that some of the most violent people can become some of the most peaceful warriors in our communities. Alex is an example of that. Others are examples of that. And, you know, every time there was truce and it failed because the government or the jobs or the police undermined it, you still had leaders come out of each effort. The Crips and Bloods efforts in 92, a whole crop of leaders came out of that. What happened in the 60s and 70s, many leaders. What happened in 93 in LA with the Latino gangs. And what's happening now in El Salvador, there will be leaders. Those leaders of the peace truce today, they're not going back to violence. They're not, no matter what happens. The issue, though, is if there's a new generation of young people with no jobs being repressed, the gang violence will continue. What we need to do is help those who are ready to stand up now, just like Alex, just like these people in El Salvador, these leaders, and put as much effort as we can to make sure that no more lives are lost.
Well, you know, I'll end if it's okay with just one thought, which is, you know, we think about these numbers, like 2.4 million people in U.S. prisons, 1 million black, 500,000 Latino. We talk about, as you were saying, people in women's prisons in El Salvador. Each one of them are real people. They're not numbers. I mean, if this was you, if this was your life, the amazing injustice of what's going on, you would say, oh, my God, we got to really have a revolution if this was my life. But it's other people's lives for some of you. And for some of us listening here, all the more reason to take action, because you have the option to take action. So let's get involved in this movement. Let's get involved in helping Homies Unidos. Let's get out and see the film, Fruits of War. And we'll stay in touch with both of your brothers and continue to publicize your work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on the show.
Okay, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.